Jo Victoria, thank you so much for joining us this morning on 2SER. How are you?
Hi, Willie. I'm good. Lovely to talk to you this morning.
Now, you are a ceramicist, but before you became an artist, you had an incredibly, well, what I think is an incredibly interesting career. Tell us about that.
Well, yes, I started out as I studied anthropology and archaeology at the Australian National University when I was young, and I ended up working in Central Australia for a long time, recording cultural landscapes and working with Aboriginal Sacred Sites Protection Authority and having a lot of trips out bush with amazing women showing me the country. So it was, an amazing time, really.
And so what was the catalyst for you to go back and do your further study and then become a ceramicist?
Look, I'd always been a bit of an arty nerd as a kid. I was always sitting in the corner drawing horses and making little pots out of mud and, you know, generally being a messy child. And I wanted, when I went to uni, I wanted to make a difference, and I thought art was a little bit too self-indulgent. And I was, you know, very interested in land rights and social justice. And so I went in that direction. But, you know, as the years went on, my kind of inner soul was craving to do something creative.
And can you describe your style of work for us?
Well, I predominantly work in porcelain, and I use porcelain slip, which is liquid porcelain, and I put organic materials like leaves and twigs and things in that porcelain slip, and when it gets fired in the kiln, the organic material burns away and leaves the space where it was. And to me, it's like looking at a fossil, like a light fossil in work. And yeah, I always, and I can never really tell what's going to happen. There's a lot of waiting and opening the kiln and being disappointed or, you know, being amazed, and that's what I love about it.
And where do you get your inspiration from?
Oh, the natural world, definitely. Particularly, you know, coastal environments. I've always loved living or being near the ocean, and and the way the light kind of reflects on the water or through leaves or, you know, small things.
And when did you start calling yourself an artist?
You know, I did struggle with that. I went to art school and we had to practice talking about our art practice and, you know, presenting ourselves as artists, and I always found that difficult. But I think once I started working really hard and starting to, you know, I started having exhibitions and, you know, working very hard and not making a lot of money, I thought this is what an artist is.
Oh, it's a shame, isn't it, that we qualify that, I'm working really hard and I'm producing all these beautiful pieces, right, yet I'm still just barely making ends meet.
That's right. Definitely felt like, oh, this is the struggling artist. Yep.
Yeah, I'm there. I've arrived. Can you tell us about one of your favourite pieces that you've created? Because you do a range of, you do lighting, you also do tableware, and then you do structural.
Yeah.
Sculptural work.
Yeah. The work I love to make mostly is sculptural work. And I think when I worked out, like, it was years and years of trial and error, but once I worked out how to create these kind of fossil-like images using burnt out natural objects that I'd collected and put that into a mold, and then worked out how to actually fire these works so that the porcelain became very translucent and it didn't collapse when the burnt out bits burnt away, basically. And I think once I'd mastered that technique, I kind of found my voice.
I get a feeling there's a lot of trial and error. There's been a lot of trial and error in your work.
Oh my God. Yes. So much. so much. So many disappointments. But, you know, I think that's part of it. I have pushed the material and my skill and knowledge right to the end. And it's only when those works emerge, you know, fragile but whole, that it really makes the work sing for me. And so I'm working on the limits of what the material is capable of. So there's a lot of pain.
there's a lot of like putting it into the kiln and being like, come on.
That's right. There is. But when it works, it's magic.
It's magic. Yeah. And look, that you do have some really stunning pieces on your Instagram page, which we will link to the and your website, which we'll link to the show notes here. Yep. So people can go and check out your work there.
Yep.
What do you do to get out of a creative funk?
I always take my dog for a walk on the beach, if that's, you know, if it's a little one. Otherwise, I work in different materials now. I'm also working in silver, and I've just started working with glass. So I tend to move my focus, you know, if the clay is causing a creative funk, then I can start making silver or doing something else. But I have been, in the last few years, I've been lucky enough to have some overseas residencies in some amazing places. And that, to me, is where I first realized it's sort of marrying my old life in anthropology and cultural landscapes to my new life as an artist and going to new places and seeing, you know, how people work as artists and how people live overseas is really just one of the wonderful things that I've been able to do as an artist.
Oh, you must have just absolutely topped up your creative energy and inspiration in those trips.
Oh, totally. Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's amazing.
What was one of the favourites that stands out in your mind?
Oh, I think my first time overseas, I went to Denmark, and I realised then that people in cultures like Denmark have a different value of the craft arts. You know, they have a much stronger tradition of appreciating ceramics for a start, and ceramics that are linked to or inspired by nature. Like I felt like my work was much more easily understood and accepted and valued over there, and it changed the way I thought about, I felt good about myself when I went there, because for the first time I realized that I'm not that strange, really.
Yeah. I guess that feeling of being like a valued and skilled craftsman as opposed to kind of the weird eccentric art lady.
Exactly, that's right. Yeah, it is a little bit not normal when you know people think I make teapots and cups, and I'm really really hopeless at making teapots and cups. I'm
You're like, trust me, you don't want me making your teapot or your cup.
Totally. I mean, they're incredibly hard to make very well.
Can you remember the first piece you sold?
Yes, I can, actually. I was completely astounded. It was in a show at the Canberra Potter Society in Canberra, and it was a small installation of little vessels that were made of they were like a family. So there was a tall vase that was like the dad, and a bit of a short fat vase like the mum, and then all the little vases that came in the generations after that all had bits of the original DNA from the parent vases, really. And it was just a play on our relationships and families, and that sold. It was my first piece. It was great.
Yeah, it's a very exciting time, I think, as an artist kind of have your first piece sold.
Yeah.
Who would you say is your biggest fan?
Oh, my family are fantastic. My kids, yeah. My partner. I've always had incredible support from them, and they're still my best fans, really.
Yep. Yep. And who's your biggest critic?
Oh, me. I'm sure every artist would say that. I don't think.
It's interesting. there's a general. I would say, and I'll have to go back and do the numbers on this, because I would say it's 80 to 85% self.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
And then the other sort of, 15-20% is a loved one.
Yeah.
Is either like a partner or some children who will often, pop their head in the studio and say,
"What's that?
Oh, what are you doing?" Yeah. Or, "That's really amazing."
I do get both of those things, so that does happen.
Yep. And now tell us a little bit about the Out of the Ashes exhibition that's on at the moment, or that is coming up and that you're exhibiting in, and what it means to you.
I was incredibly lucky that my house and my studio didn't burn down during the fires, but...
Because where do you live again?
I live in Mossy Point, and Mossy Point,
Mossy Point.
Is very close to Mogo. So... Mogo was burning, and we were directly in the fire path, and the fire had been coming for weeks. It wasn't just one event, it was actually weeks and weeks of the fire getting bigger and bigger and closer and the roads getting cut, and people who lived here knew that it was coming, because they just couldn't put the fires out. The forests were burning, and every time the wind came up it just got closer and closer. And New Year's Eve was, a day that I'll never forget. And it was horrendous, really. Like, it was like a giant, mean dragon, fire-breathing dragon in the sky, was just determined to get everybody and keep burning until there was nothing left to burn. And that's, I just felt small. I felt like this thing is going to do what it wants. There's lots of people in this exhibition that have really been devastated and really very traumatized. And, there was about a week between the fire, and then there were floods, and then, the virus came. It's kind of like people here haven't really had a chance to recover and grieve and work out how to come together again.
I would say you guys, people who are in the fire affected regions are coming on close to 6 months of trauma, or 6 months of living a high stress, a highly anxious life.
Yeah, that's right. And, there's a lot of people whose businesses and livelihoods have been just completely devastated. And artists in particular, there's a lot of artists who live here, and, we've lost our kind of Canberra and Sydney traffic over Christmas. A lot of people haven't been able to start their practices again, because they're in a bad way, really.
Yeah. And so the Out of the Ashes exhibition, how many pieces have you got that you're exhibiting in there?
I've got three. I've got three pieces in there. So, it's kind of different parts of my practice that I've put up, and I just think that Denise from the Wellington Gallery and Amanda's from Mogo have done an amazing job to kind of reach out to artists at a very difficult time, and help us to get this stuff out there.
Yep. And post the Out of the Ashes exhibition, what are you working on? What are your plans?
I've actually had a couple of other exhibitions that I was working on. Like, I've been working on a collaboration with a Canberra glass artist, and which has been quite difficult, because the collaboration involved studio sharing time, and basically since November the roads were cut and the fires were coming. Very difficult. But that show, glass and porcelain collaboration is still going ahead, but it will be online at Craft ACT in Canberra in early May. So I've been working on that really quite a lot. Yep.
Yep. Jo Victoria, thank you so much for your time this morning. It's been wonderful talking with you, and we look forward to seeing all your pieces in the Out of the Ashes exhibition that I think it's next week. I think it all comes online.
Right.
So that will be very exciting, and all the best, hey?
Well, thanks, Willie. It's been lovely to talk to you.